Let us all say amen.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, of Paul in his first letter to the Thessalonians, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. Say, so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, he says, comfort one another with these words." Amen?
Amen.
So we find that the Lord is coming back soon. And we need to prepare ourselves for that coming. And I know I've been pulled a couple of times about, I think if the brothers don't know this, me and Brother Brooks have said that we would try, and I'll do my part tonight, to make evening service where we're not up more than 30 minutes. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So I'll be down. You can look at the clock yourself. I know you got to keep a clock on the preacher. But I'll be down by 4:25. I'll be finished my message. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. So you don't have to send no posse after me. Who that, Brother Floyd? Yeah. Send Brother Adam after me. Adam got some authority here. About 4:30. I said, "Boy, sit down somewhere." Yeah, but I'll be down by 4:30. However, what I'm going to do tonight, and I looked at this, but me and Brother Brooks, the Lord had blessed us that we were able to go to the National Lectureship, and I'll talk maybe more about that on next Sunday evening. But tonight what I wanted to do was to look at the Word of God, and we need to know that the church itself is looked at in two senses. You have the church in the local sense, but then you have the church in the universal sense. And where we went to the lectureship, it was more dealing with the church on a universal sense. But tonight, for the few moments that I have, I wanted us to look at the church in a local sense. And local meaning that some 60 years ago, there was about 8 brothers from the documents that I read that got together. And the church here was started, the Highland Heights Church of Christ was started in a local sense. And so I want to look at it in a local sense tonight, but I also want us to be able to look at ourselves as we talk about the Word of God. And I'll show us from the Word of God where we are, because we need to understand that this, what we call worshiping God and the kingdom of God, the unshakable truths holding the unmovable kingdom, but we need to understand what that kingdom is and where we are in the kingdom. In Hebrews 12 and verse number 25, Brother Owens, if you would.
"See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven."
Yeah, now that's why I want to stay tonight, with the few moments that I have tonight. Now, the Hebrew writer said, he says, see to this, that you refuse not him that speaketh. And the one that he's talking about is Christ himself. He says, see to it that you don't, and the word refuse in the text means asking to be excused. He said, for if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we, not we escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven. And so I want to say to us, and I want to put on record, is that when you hear those preaching from the Word of God, that's Jesus speaking to you. Yeah, so you need to perk up your ears. I know we come to a worship service, and sometimes we have things going on in our lives. I want to talk about those things that I asked the question, how often have we excused ourselves from listening to the Word of God? How many times have you come to worship service and you are just here in body, but your mind is somewhere else? Yeah, well, the Bible talks about some of us in the Word of God that we are here, but then we are not here. Yeah, and we know from the Word of God, why is it that some of us are here and not here. Well, I want to offer a couple of things from the Word of God, and you get in where you need to fit in as it comes to the Word of God. One of the reasons I want to say, get from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yeah. One of the reasons we excuse ourselves from listening to the Word of God. Paul talked about some Christians in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me get there with you. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to offer some Christians allow their earthly pursuits to trap them. Some of us, because of our jobs and because of work and because of other things, allow ourselves to be trapped that we don't listen to Jesus. Start at verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore,
my son,
yeah,
be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Read.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses,
yeah,
the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
So Paul said to them, he said, first of all, he said, and that's where leaders come in, need to be examples to the congregation. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, nobody is infallible, but Jesus, we are all fallible creatures. But Paul said, he said, commit thou to faithful men. He said, those that have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So I want to put on record is that those that are leaders need to be faithful before the people. Yeah, I'll say amen myself.
Amen.
He said, thou therefore
endure hardness,
yeah,
as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Now, we need to realize, as I think the officer that was before us today, she talked about when you are a law enforcement officer, you deal with issues and guns and things differently than those that are civilians. She pointed that out. And I want to say to us, the Bible says in verse number 3 that we are soldiers for Christ. Yeah, soldiers are different from civilian people. Soldiers understand that in war, lives are going to be lost. They know that. They know that they have to put their lives on the line when you are a soldier. And for those of us, we need to realize that we are soldiers in Christ. Now, watch verse number 4.
No man that warred entangling himself with the affairs of this life.
Yeah.
That he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier.
Yeah, now that's point number 1. Read verse 5.
And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully?
So now, Paul said to them, understand this here. Some of us will allow ourselves to get entangled with the affairs of life. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some of us, because of our pursuits, how many of us, when we're young, we go out, and even our young people today, they leave here, go to college, and they never become faithful again. Yeah, I say amen. Yeah. I say amen myself. And some of us on our job, we can go out, and what the Bible is saying, what Paul was saying, they become entangled or they become caught up in the pursuits of life that you are not faithful to the Lord. But he said, those that are soldiers won't allow themselves. Yeah, we all have a life. Brother Brooks says, life issues faces everyone. We find that all of us have issues in life. But what Paul was saying to them, those that are soldiers won't allow the word affairs here mean the pursuits of life to catch them. Why? Because what we're trying to do is please him who has chosen us to be soldiers. Yeah, I'm trying to please the Lord. Now, I know I have life to live, but I'm trying to please the Lord in my life. And so Paul said that in verse 5, he said, now, if a man also strive for masteries, he said, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So we have to pursue the things in life and do it lawfully as the Lord has said. So we're talking about why the Hebrew writer said some of us are refusing to listen to the Lord on a local sense. And then secondly, I want to point out that sometimes some of us are just not spiritual. Get from Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah. Yeah. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Stroud? Why is it that you have so many in worship service in the morning and you have so few in the Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we're just not spiritual. Yeah. Yeah, it's quiet in here now. That's okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Now notice what Paul said about some in the church. And what I'm trying to do is make sure that if I'm in this category, that I understand that I have to get myself out and do what the Lord has said. Ephesians 4:17, what does the Paul said to the Ephesians?
This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind.
Now what Paul was saying to them, he said that you no longer henceforth walk like the Gentiles. And Jesus talked about the Gentile walk when Jesus said, what we gonna eat, what we gonna wear. Sometimes all we are concerned about, even in the Lord's church, is about ourselves. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah. He said, but they don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of mind. He said, go ahead, having
the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
Now, Paul said here that sometimes if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to be alienated from the life of God. He said it's through our ignorance and because of the blindness of our heart, we can allow ourselves, because of who we are, not to pursue those things, and we become alienated from the life of God. He said, who being past,
feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness.
But
ye have not so learned Christ.
So Paul was saying, some of us, or some of them, in Ephesians, it can be some of us too. He said, their past feelings have given themselves over. Because of how you lived before you became a Christian, those same lifestyles are still there. He said, giving yourself unto lasciviousness and doing our work all uncleanly with greediness. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. When we learn about Christ, amen, then we'll pursue those things. He said, but if so be that you have heard him
and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus.
The truth is still in Jesus. We still got to avail ourselves to hear about the word of God. And I think this morning, I know hopefully over here in the sisters class, we had a very good discussion about grandparents and them with their grandchildren and how it's a responsibility that we have, even as grandparents, those that are grandparents, to make sure that your children are steered in a proper way. But I want to say to us, back then, I know when I was growing up, you had grandparents that didn't mind discipline their grandchildren. Yeah, back then. Yeah, I was telling Tommy how when I was growing up, I remember my grandmother used to have ornaments on the table. And when you was a little kid, you would walk around and you would see those ornaments on the table and you get ready to touch them. And she said, honey, don't touch that. Yeah. And then you go back and you just playing again and you go and she said, honey, don't touch that. And you keep playing around and you forget what grandma said. And then the third time, you come around, and the next thing you hear cry. Yeah. Because she gonna grandparents back then would discipline their children. Yeah. And then back then, I know my grandmother, she would discipline you, and then you look at your mother, and she'll look at her and say, you want some of this too? Yeah, you had real grandparents back then. The day when they saw him, we was talking about in our class today, and I asked a question. I'm not a grandparent, but I asked a question to those that were grandparents. I asked a question on the floor. I said, let me ask the question. How many of us are grandparents, and you see that child going left, and you know it? You know, you have children that's going left and some that's going right, and you know it. How many of us are grandparents will intervene with that a child and try to stop him from going where he's going?
Amen.
Yeah. Back then, grandparents would do that. They would intervene. And they would say, and they would tell a parent, girl, you better stop that boy. You better stop that boy. You better stop. I can see it now. You're going to be coming to see him. They're going to lock him up.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Back then. But now, we got parents today don't want nobody to say nothing to their children. Yeah. Yeah. Go to school and they come home and tell you all kind of story. Then you want to go up to the school jumping on the teacher. That's a sad commentary. And you a Christian. Now, there's nothing wrong with going up there trying to get the facts right, but it's still, even in that, even if the teacher is wrong, you still need to teach that child to respect authority. That's the issue.
Amen.
That's the issue what we have.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, you teach them to respect. Even if she's wrong, there's a right way to handle a situation.
Amen.
Yeah, you don't go up there jumping on the teacher because the teacher, they're going to be wrong. Teachers are human too. They're going to be prejudiced. They're going to be wrong. But you teach your child how to deal with situations properly as a Christian.
Amen.
How you expect the child to behave when you go up there acting a fool?
Amen. That's it.
Yeah. The Lord said, well, y'all get quiet. Y'all say amen, somebody.
Amen. That's it.
I'm just trying to help us here. But so we were studying. That's a good subject we had today, introducing that subject about grandparents with their grandchildren home. It's our responsibility. And sometimes we have more and more cases now where the grandparents are having, because the parents have failed, the grandparents are having to raise them children and bring them up. Yeah, it's almost out of necessity now. Yeah. Out of necessity now. But again, it's a responsibility that we have, that we raise them right. When my question on the floor was that when we see ourselves going left, do we correct ourselves? Now, I want us to understand from the Word of God that God has designed it that we check ourselves. Go to James chapter 1. And then I'm going to answer this question on the local church, and I'm going to sit down, take my seat. Amen, somebody. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that when it comes to issues, and I'm gonna close this with the answer to it, in James 1:21, James said, wherefore,
lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness.
And do what?
And receive with meekness the engrafted word,
which is
able to save your souls.
So now understand this here, as a Christian. What the Lord is saying through James, it is my responsibility to see what's going on with me and fix myself. You know, sometimes we want to blame others, but the Lord said in the text, James said, Jesus' brother said, he said, wherefore, it's my responsibility. If I'm sick, it's my doctors ain't coming to see me. I got to get up and go to the doctor, and I got to find out what's wrong with me. James said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, those things that are in me that are not Christian. James said, it's my responsibility to get those things out of me. Then I can receive the word of God. And that's the point I'm making on about our pursuits of life. Sometimes we got stuff in us that keep us from receiving the word of God. But it's our responsibility that we see the physician. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. 2 points, and I'm going to take my seat. Extend the invitation, and the message is yours. Matthew chapter 9. And I want to begin at verse number 9. I try not to assume that people know text, and so if you don't know it, if you read it, as I said in San Diego, whereby when you read, you might understand. But start in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 9. And this is my second reason is some Christians, we talked about in our spiritual, and some people simply just won't do what they need to do for themselves. Matthew 9:9.
And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him.
So now Jesus told Matthew, he said, now follow me. And Matthew arose and he followed Jesus. Read.
And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples.
Read.
And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?
Now watch what Jesus' response to them was.
But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.
Now Jesus went on record as saying, those that are healthy and strong, they don't need a physician, but they that are sick need a physician. And so I want to go on record as saying that some of us, because life may be going good for us, we feel from a spiritual standpoint that we are strong and healthy. Yeah, but that may not be the case. That may not be the case. Now, we find, and I'm learning now, as we get older, and those I'm talking about our elders, our SAMs, our members, because our health begin to deteriorate, now we are more conscious of our health. Why? Because I can have blood pressure issues. I can have cholesterol issues. I can have diabetes. And so now I'm listening to the doctor. Yeah. But Jesus said from the Hebrew writing in Hebrews 12, there was a time when we weren't listening to nobody. When the doctor told us, we know beforehand. You know, sometimes when we get down, now we want to listen. But I want to encourage us that we don't have to be sick in order to listen to Jesus. You don't have to wait till you find a sickness, because Jesus says, I go to my closing scripture, go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. This has become a pit scripture for me, trying to live to this point that Jesus said. Start in verse number 1, Matthew 4, in verse number 1.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
Read.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry.
So we need to realize that just as the devil went after Jesus, and we need to realize also from the text, the devil sometimes come at us when we are at our weakest points. The devil know when to come at us. He know our weaknesses. And so sometimes, as in Jesus' case, he'll come at us when we are hungered from a spiritual standpoint. Read.
And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.
Right, go ahead. He tried to tempt Jesus. And notice that Jesus answered, and this is the text that I'm talking about, that we need to allow to find itself in the pores of our life. Read. But he answered and said,
it is written,
yeah,
man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Jesus said, it is written. He went back to Deuteronomy 8 and 3. He said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I want to ask the question here. If I need to live by every word that comes from the Lord, how can I afford to miss a Bible class? How can I afford to miss a sermon when I need to try to see what every word that come out of the mouth of the Lord? And every time I come to assemble, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Bible class, even in my study, it allows me to find out what the Word of God is, and that I live according to the Word of God and not according to my situation and my circumstances. And so I want to offer, as I close on this afternoon, the fact that as a Christian, many things can stop us from a local sense from doing that. But I want to say, as James said, it's my responsibility to lay apart those things that are hindering me. We know sometimes, we talked about this morning in our Bible class, sometimes your grandkids can throw you off. Sometimes your children can throw you off. Sometimes your job can throw you off. We can allow everything to throw us off. But what Paul told Timothy, he said, understand this is like a soldier. Yeah. You don't let the affairs of life cause you to get tangled up, that you lose pursuit of what your goal is. You know, how often do we come and we funeralize somebody, and we know ourselves that person haven't lived the life that God wanted him to live? Yeah. Yeah. But we want to be those that can say here at Highland Heights that we know that we've been taught, as Paul said, the whole counsel of God, that we know those things that are important and the things that we need to pursue. And so if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I said I was going to be down timely, amen? Yeah, I wanted to just share that from a local sense, that we look at ourselves and I ask myself, am I those that the Hebrew writer said, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him. Understand this here. When you hear those preaching from the word of God, if it's rightly divided, that's God talking to you. And I'm asking, I'm encouraging all of us that we don't have an ear, that we excuse ourselves from listening to the word of God. Amen?
Amen?
And again, so if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, what you need to do is the Bible teaches us in the Hebrew Hebrew writer spoke about the fact that we need to realize as it relates to our pursuing the Lord, that we do those things that we find written in the Bible, and we understand, going all the way back to our letter in Hebrews 9 and verse 22, Brother Owens, if you'll say that, a scripture, that Hebrews, going back to the original book, Hebrews 9 and verse number 22, what does the Bible say?
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission.
Yeah, so I want to say to those of you that are here tonight, if you're not a Christian, the Bible, the Hebrew writer said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. The word remission here meaning forgiveness of sin. And I want to offer to you, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the local church or the Church of Christ, the only church in the Bible, you have your sins. They need to be remitted. And the only way they get remitted is if you come in contact with the blood of Christ and what is called water baptism. You are baptized. You understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He suffered on the cross. He died on that cross. And his death, not only with his blood, he purchased the church, but also he gave access to you to have your sin remitted by being water baptized. By faith, you come in contact with the blood of Christ. So you hear the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You believe that gospel. You repent of your sin. You come down. You make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You are water baptized for the forgiveness of all your sin. And the Lord adds you to the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. And then we have to live faithfully in the Lord and be taught, be grown and raised up in the Lord. If you're someone today that would like to respond in any way, to obey the Lord, or you like to respond to the message itself, we bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.